Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to the Autocar Podcast, My Week in Cars, with Pryor over here, Cropley over there. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Very well, thank you, mate.
Steve, terrible weather.
Miserable, isn't it? Do you ever ride? I've just driven over here, and I passed a couple of motorbikes on the way, the other direction. Do you ever? It's 6 degrees and raining. Do you ever ride in this weather?
No. The thing I do is ride the scooter, because I live 4 miles from a market town. Mm-hmm. And it's a handy way of, the market town's usually full of people trying to shop. So even in bad weather, and scooters have got a bit of weather protection, haven't they? So I do ride, more likely to ride in these conditions on a scooter, But not very far.
No, I don't. Do you know Adam Child?
Gets dirty.
The motorbike journalist, Adam Child.
I know his byline a lot.
Yeah, he's on a, I just follow him on the socials, and he's on a job at the minute somewhere, and he rode to the airport yesterday or day before. And he sent a picture through of his BMW bike in the parking area with like a 3 foot high kit bag. And I'm thinking, how do you strap that to the motorbike?
Yeah.
But I'm full of admiration of people who, even in freezing conditions, rain, will still go, I'll ride. I don't. I haven't ridden since October.
Also, your bike gets horribly dirty, doesn't it? It gets covered in salt as well. Yeah. I don't mind riding in cold, but I'm a bit reluctant to just cover it with gunge.
Yeah.
Makes me wet, I think.
Anyway, sorry, we have a letter. My mate Andy has written to say, do you remember last week I mentioned there was the world's largest shipping, some container ship was crossing the ocean at the moment from Singapore to Rotterdam, more stuff on board than any other ship at any time. And it had on it 21,954 TEUs.
Right.
And Andy writes to say, one TEU is a 20-foot equivalent unit, so that's a 20-foot long shipping container.
Wow.
So a 40-foot shipping container is effectively two TEUs, and a 10-foot container would be half a TEU. So basically this thing is crossing the seas with 21,000, the equivalent of 22,000, basically, 20-foot shipping containers.
Unbelievable.
On board. That is an enormous amount, isn't it?
God,
that
it sure is.
Astonishing. Anyway, Andy was used to run the aerial port at Kandahar Air Base in Afghanistan, which is how he knows, which is how he's an expert. So thanks, Andy. Appreciate that. This week, Steve and I are going to be talking. There's no mag out when this podcast comes out because the Christmas double, the first of two, is still on sale.
That's it.
So we're going to be talking part of Steve's column that's in that, but we'll also talk Christmas road test a wee bit later.
That you've done. That it's your magnum opus
thing.
That's
my thing. Every year, start worrying about the next one already. But let's chat some of the stuff in your column. In fact, we both had a go this year, Steve, in the Citroen Ami, which we like the idea of, but...
Yeah, it's so disappointing, isn't it? It's just, you know, when electric cars or the notion of electric cars were new, everybody said, yes, but they'll be like golf carts and milk floats. This thing is like a golf cart and milk float, unfortunately. And it looks really great. And the idea is terrific. The hose it out thing, it's roomy, it looks rather good and all that. But unfortunately, it's a deep disappointment. It needs more performance, it needs a better ride, and everything, really. So I wouldn't want one. I would be a sucker for something like that, but I was thinking 2CV, you see, but yeah. Not a chance.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's so sort of close to being the sort of thing you'd want. Because you thought, you know, maybe to and from the office it would be great, or just nipping to and from the town here it would be great.
Yeah.
But the top speed is about 29 miles an hour, isn't it, basically?
It's never quite enough. 40 or something. And the ride was remotely okay, then I think you could go with it. But unfortunately, that changes the whole proposition, doesn't it? It's not legal anymore, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because it's a quadricycle, isn't it? Isn't it a heavy quadricycle? Is that how the two? There's a light quadricycle and a heavy quadricycle, and depending on where you live, you can drive one at a much younger age than in the UK. Is that right? I think in France you can drive on at 14.
Yeah, France was really young.
Yeah. My understanding, the old, no longer their Citroën boss, said that what they'd find is that the family would go in to think about buying a new Citroën C5X or whatever. And while they're there, the salespeople would go, are your kids going to start riding around in a scooter or whatever? And they'd say, well, yeah, maybe. Well, maybe you should consider getting them an Ami instead. And or vice versa, go in to have a look at the Ami. And while the kid's being shown around the car park of how to use it, the parents would get the soft sell on a new family car. So from a brand extension point of view, might be.
I could imagine being swept right into that as well. But I must say, it strikes me as interesting. Be fascinating to know what the French experience is of 14-year-olds in a vehicle of any kind on the motor, on the road. I wonder if they are safe. I wonder if they do hit things.
Yeah, I wonder.
And get in the way, for that matter, because the French traffic, in my experience, doesn't hang about particularly.
And I wonder, presumably safer than a scooter.
Yeah, imagine.
Which is amazing. Yeah. But it's a shame, isn't it? It feels like a slightly missed opportunity.
Yeah. Nice idea, but yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't run one where.
No, where you are. I think you'd be in peril every time you went out on the road.
I did two road tests this year. One of which was the Christmas road test. And the road testers also asked me if I would do the Ami. Which I think, I don't know, are they trying to tell me something?
Yeah.
Because now and again I say, I'd love to write a road test, lads. If you'd send a Bentley my way, something like that. Yeah. I'm like, well, we do have just the thing, Prior. If you could go and do the numbers on an Ami, that would be perfect.
Did you do them?
Yeah, but we usually go to Millbrook or Myra Proving Grounds to do the performance figures. And of course it won't get...
No.
It'll take days to get there because it only charges on a 3-pin plug.
That's it, of course.
And because the battery is not very big. I mean, it doesn't take very long to charge. It's a couple of hours, but still, it'd be a while. So, I just had to find a flattish piece of ground and do them close to me, which is fine because I live in the sticks. I have more opportunity to a disused path that I can do an acceleration test.
Well, Bicester Heritage just 29. Down the road.
Yeah, plenty of places you can do 0 to 29 miles an hour acceleration test. On the subject of EVs, you have had a new home charger fitted at some point this year, have you not?
Yeah, we had one before. I'm battling to remember the brand now. It's gone, but we've now got an Anderson one, which is a kind of rather elegant looking box on the side. I mean, literally a box prism on the side of the barn that's quite close to our house. And the makers like to do their mantra is that people will choose wall boxes in the way they choose TVs. So there'll be a whole range, and they'll go for the one that suits their house and they like and all that. This one is a 7 kilowatt charger, and it talks to an app on your phone, so you can see whether it's working or not. You can also immobilize it from remotely. So if you think that your neighbors are swiping your charge, you can just turn it off from your phone.
Yeah.
Not that my
remote, not that your neighbors would
my
do
neighbors
that,
wouldn't do anything like that.
No.
But it seems to me to be a really good thing. It's got a light. You open a lid, the light comes on. There's also, you coil it into this box in a very sweet way, and there's a sort of brush around the place where you coil it. So as you coil it, it cleans itself.
Oh, that is good.
So when you pull it out next time, it's all right.
Yeah, that is.
So I'm like that. Deeply pleased with it. Mm. I mean, I don't think it's the cheapest, but it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is an attractive, I've got to say, it sits on your wall, looks an attractive looking.
Yeah,
thing, isn't it?
It does. It, the thing is, it's an old building. In fact, it's the only part of our property that's listed. And it's okay to put it on that because it looks fine. It just matches, fits in perfectly.
Mm. The cleaning thing is important, isn't it?
Actually, well,
just because people did and do say, well, the nice thing is about EVs, you don't get diesel on your hands, you don't have to go to a smelly fuel station or whatever. But if your cable drags across the floor at all, you can end up still getting grubby hands.
On your trousers and all that. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's been very well thought out. I think the guys that handle it in this country picked up a design from Scandinavia, and it's very nicely designed.
Mm.
I think they've done some sort of a deal with various Porsche dealerships. It's deemed to be a kind of upmarket one. It doesn't make it any quicker to charge or anything, but it is, it's 100% reliable and very nice to use.
Mm. Mm. Good. Shall we talk? I was going to talk. Let's talk Renault. We don't quite know how to say this. Rafale.
Yeah, I think it might be Rafale.
Rafale is an SUV.
Yeah.
You saw them earlier this year, the good people from Renault who said, SUVs are where we're at because big cars is where the money is.
Yeah, I think that's the whole clue to it is there's just a better profit margin in those cars. They are popular, as we know, by standing on any street corner and looking. And they're pretty good at design, as we know, from their recent products.
Yeah.
So I think they back themselves to sell these in pretty good numbers, and their major interest, although they do pure EVs, their major interest seems to be plug-in hybrids, and you know because plug-in hybrids have got a life of a decade or something, haven't they? So they expect to do okay with those, and it gets around the the looming problem of materials to make batteries and so on. I mean, a plug-in hybrid has a battery, but it's only a little one.
What is a Rafale? How big's that?
I think it's about, well, I think in meters these days, I think it's about 4.6, 4.7. So it's a size bigger than a Ford Focus, but not, just trying to think what it would be. I wonder, it'd probably be, I don't think it'd quite be Range Rover Sport.
Okay. So it's bigger than an Austral.
Yeah, an Austral, I think, is the size of that. Yeah, point is probably 4.5.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. There's quite a lot of SUVs in the Renault lineup now.
Yeah.
And I feel slightly, it's one of those ranges that I go, I just have to remind myself. It's easier to look it up than just remember off the top of my head what everything.
You're right, because there's a Kadjar in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I think they acknowledge that they're quite close together, but that's because that's what the market wants. Mm. Do you hear the story about the guy that designed the transmission for this car? It's got an E-Tech transmission.
Is this the one that it has to spin a certain thing at a certain speed to mate the two? Hasn't got a dog.
Yeah, clutch. Well, it always starts off in electric, so it doesn't have a clutch.
Yeah.
And then the internals speed one another up so it meshes perfectly without the normal gearbox arrangements. But the thing I like is that the hybrid system was designed to many years ago, 10 years ago, by a bloke in Lego, by a Renault bloke in Lego, who liked it so much and believed in it so much that he took it to work and started to convince the powers that be that this is the kind of transmission these machines needed.
Yeah.
And eventually he crashed through. And by the way, we're going to meet him in January.
Oh, fantastic.
With his model.
Brilliant.
I'm absolutely busting to see this Lego transmission.
That's really cool. So for the uninitiated, do they call it a dog clutch or dog box? Or anyway, the upshot is there are very few losses, aren't there? Because it meshes so well together.
Yeah.
But it can be really unrefined.
Yeah.
Because I think I likened to it when I did an Austral first drive. It's like a plug spinning and you have to locate it within a plug socket.
Yes.
And you have to do those. So you have to match their speeds perfectly so that they will click plug in together.
Yeah.
And then there's no losses because there's no slip between them. So it's very efficient.
That was I think that the Lego man's argument was that this is a way of saving, 10% of the losses that you would normally expect in a car like this. And I believe they still see that as their advantage, Renault.
Yeah. And with a drive motor, you can control the speed. You can torque fill to drive the road wheels and maintain power to the road while you do it. And then with very clever control systems, you can match the road speed to the engine speed to engage the clutch. Does that sound right? Does that sound sensible to you? Or am I making
no
sense?
I'm afraid it's gone out.
It's a lot of control systems to get it right.
And extremely refined.
Yeah, really well refined, isn't it?
And efficient, so they say. But we'll know more when Mr. Lego gets into the minutiae of it. Yeah. I've already had it explained to me once, and it's gone in one ear and out the other, which is a shocking thing to say in public.
Yeah, but it does. There's only so much you can remember, mate.
Especially me, mate.
People were talking about... I was talking about sport the other day, because I don't really watch rugby.
Yeah.
And I sort of wish I did, and the Rugby World Cup was on, because I enjoy it and a lot of people I know like it, but I just don't understand it. And if I've known bits about it and forgotten, there's only so much you can,
but they do
so many things you can pay
fault.
Attention to.
In this case, it's their fault. They keep changing the rules, I believe.
Oh, the rugby.
Yeah.
I do hear a lot of people complaining about rules and refs and everything. So yeah, maybe it's not just me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, the Renault lineup. We'll come back to the Renault lineup actually after the break. There is a Captur, which is an SUV. There is an Arkana, which is a coupe-ish SUV. There is the Austral. Do we get the Rafale?
I think we will get.
We will get the Rafale.
I think it's a car we'll get in 2024.
Okay.
One of the reasons for meeting Mr. Lego in January is as a precursor to the arrival of the Rafale.
Gotcha. And the Megane these days, because it's an electric car.
Yeah.
It's not an SUV, but there are crossovery tones to it, aren't they? Because the battery's vertical. Under the floor.
Love that car. I love the styling of that car.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
I think they're clever people. Given there's so much damn competition.
Yeah.
How do you make one different?
Yeah. I drove this week on the subject of big electric SUVs, a Kia EV9.
Ah, right. Now, I want to know about this.
Well, because you've driven it too.
Well, I went to Korea, impressed by the car, very upmarket machine. Look, I like the styling. I think it's a bit Marmite, but I like it.
Mm.
Big car, imposing and all that. But we drove it around a bit, and I came away none the wiser about the ride quality, because there's no road in Korea that is remotely comparable with what's outside my house here.
No.
So I need to know what the hell it rides like.
Mate. It rides very plushly, is the short of it. It's very good isolation and...
Quiet?
Really quiet. And there isn't too much pitch and roll or dive or anything, but it does err towards comfort rather than body control. So if you go over a crest and, it wants a sort of a second go at things before it settles totally. But, it's a 7-seat, 5.1-metre long, 2.65
tonnes.
It feels a big car. I mean, it is, yes. It feels as big as it is, I think. And it's on passive dampers and coil springs. Oh. So it's not like, because I think when we should presume when an electric Discovery, Land Rover Discovery arrives, or just Discovery these days, isn't it, actually? Yeah. When an electric Discovery arrives. That presumably will have air springs, adaptive dampers, anti-roll bar, cleverness, all of the stuff that will take it dangerously, perilously close to 3-point-something tonnes, presumably.
Yeah.
And this doesn't have that, so it's quite an honest driving experience. I quite enjoyed it. And, yeah, but Kia is now in a place where the four-wheel drive versions arrive first, and the starting price of the four-wheel drive ones is about 75 grand.
Wow.
I mean, what place Kia is in these days that it can introduce a £75,000 car? Doing customer clinics and previews all through the year. And Paul Philpott, the boss, said, I went to a couple of those. They've had two cars in the UK and they've been to all of Kia's dealerships throughout the year. Paul Philpott said, I went to a couple of them to meet some potential customers, stuff like that. Looked around the car park. Lots of stuff from Gain, lots of Mercedes.
Yeah.
Proper premium alternative product.
Well, they're good at quality. The thing about Kia and Hyundai is that they're good at quality, aren't they? And I mean, without meaning to denigrate Land Rover, they could do better in those regards, or at least they're perceived to be poor. I think they're better now than they used to be. But you can understand people just reaching for the nearest Kia because it'll work.
Yeah, big seven-seater, long warranty.
You know, just like you buy a Honda or a Toyota.
Yeah. But the nice thing for me, because I'm a fetishist of small cars, there's a heavily revised Picanto on the way. I said to them, come on, so many people are stopping this small car malarkey because it's so hard to make a success of it because of GSR2 regulations on active safety kit. Plus also, you can't put much hybridization or electrification into it because then the cars don't end up cheap, so it's still going to have 100 and something, maybe 100 grams per kilometre, you know.
Yeah.
And they said, no, still make money out of Picanto, be in the range for a long time.
Yeah. Wow. So, I wonder, that sounds like 5 years, doesn't it?
Sounds like a while, doesn't it? Yeah. Which I was pleased about.
That's such a positive, isn't it? It makes you feel better, doesn't it? I feel better about that, and I also feel better for knowing in much more detail in the last few weeks that there are going to be small EVs coming. You know, there's VW are working on them and Renault are working on them. And I just think they're where I want to be. I just don't want a big fat one at the moment.
No, I mean, I did like the EV9 a lot at what it does. It's very good at what it does. But I'm driving it thinking, is this sort of car really, you know, is 2.7 tonnes really where we want to be? Ultimately, and if you set the regulations of go, well, you've got to have a zero emissions vehicle, you've got to have a 300 mile range, you've got to seat 7 people. Well, of course, that's where you end up.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you end up with a car like that. But it's very good, but it's sort of not where I necessarily think we ought to totally be. Anyway, Steve and I are going to take a very short break. We'll be back with more My Week in Cars in just a moment.
What car would you buy if you could buy any car? What car would you buy if you knew you could save thousands? What car would you buy if you could compare the latest offers from approved dealers? What car would you buy if you could do all of this in one place in just a few simple clicks? And where would you go to buy that car? What car? Car buying made easy. Visit whatcar.com to buy your next new car.
Welcome back to My Week in Cars, 13th of December edition. There is no new magazine out this week, but if you go to the newsagents, you will still find the Christmas double issue in the shops. You can also get it on subscription at themagazineshop.com. Steve and I will bring you highlights from the 20th and 27th of December double issue next week, on the 20th of December. Then, on the 27th of December podcast, because there's one every week, because people walk the dogs every week, Steve, don't they?
They do.
They need, you know, it's not like the mag where, you know, you can get away with, you know, doing double issues. We don't do double issue pods.
No.
There'll be a special feature length edition, so take the dog for an extra long walk on the 27th, because we have an extensive interview with Richard Hammond at his workshop.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah, we're talking all things Richard Hammond, his history, Grand Tour, Top Gear.
Yeah.
Interesting bloke.
Also, really interesting classic car business.
Yeah.
And a little bit about his what he really thinks of the future. Mm. Quite, pretty voluble, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm actually, to be truthful, I'm quite looking forward to hearing it again.
Hearing it back, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. James Baker writes, Steve, to say, interesting to hear Steve is in the market for a small EV in the podcast last week. That was a little while ago. Yeah. You're still in the market. You still may be in the market.
Well, I sort of am, yeah. It's just a thing I worry at.
Oh, actually, I got a letter from our old mate Derek Redfern, who used to work at Haymarket, saying Steve should take a look at this. It was a part share in a boat plane, which I thought sounded pretty cool. I thought, yeah, maybe you should look. I'll forward that on, Steve. Anyway, James says, as Steve mentioned, you can get a lot of car for your money in a Renault Zoe at the moment. We bought one 2 weeks ago. A late 2021 52 kilowatt hour rapid charge R135 with 5,000 miles on it for 12 grand. Then it was 30,000.
Honestly, that is the car.
I think he may have seen. He said we bought it from a Renault main dealer. 3 years warranty left. 6 years warranty left on the battery. I think he may have. Yes, commute from the countryside into Cheltenham. James has. I wonder if he bought one of the ones that you saw the other way.
There's a dealer in. There's a good dealer, EV only dealer in Cheltenham on the outdoor, not near the racecourse. Mm. Near the railway. Deemed to be. I don't know them, but friends of mine say they're really good, and they had a couple of Renault Zoes that are now gone. I know if.
I reckon James has one.
Yeah. Well, well done, James. You've done a good thing. Because yeah. I, honestly, they're on offer. There's a few around. I always like the Zoe. I remember blagging one from Renault 1 year just to drive over Christmas because I just like the combination of zip and small size. It's not tiny. It's not tiny, but it's a bit like I'm always saying, a bit tato shaped, isn't it? But it. It's
what was the car makes a potato look handsome? I can't remember
I think it might have been an Audi Q7.
Oh yes, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
But anyway, I think if it's not an i3, it might be a Zoe. I think I just want an EV to mess around with to say that I do a lot of motoring, and as it happens, an Audi has arrived here, so I am driving a lot in an Audi SQ8, which I must say did 1,000 miles last week.
Ooh.
Just because of all the up and down the country I seem to do. But I'd like to have my own.
Mm. How was it over 1,000?
Good. There miles? Was a fair bit of. I was interested to see. I've never really done this before, that sort of mileage in a hurry.
Mm.
And I was worried about charging as you do. But I did find some good places. There's a thing on the M42 called Hopwood, I think it is, services, which has got a huge bank of Tesla chargers and almost as huge bank of other people's chargers. And I dropped in there three times because it happened to be on the way to work the various places I was going. And quick charging, cup of coffee, you've got 40 kilowatt hours under your belt and you're ready to rock and roll again. Mm. The car makes me think, though, about the efficacy of having big electric cars, though, because this has got a battery that's something like 110, 109 kilowatt hours, it's a heavy car, and you can drive it pretty fast, even. I try and be sensible, but I do wonder whether I'd be just as well off with something smaller, with a 50 to 60 kilowatt hour, but you just wouldn't spend so much time pumping electricity into it, you know. It's the weight and size that I'm still not with it. Zoe i3, that's my interest.
We've talked a lot of EVs this week. That wasn't my intention, Steve. Have we talked anything that wasn't, apart from motorbikes?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I spec'd the other day, and I downloaded the pictures of, and I was going to put them on my socials, but I haven't yet because I thought people in the office might think that I was wasting time on a car configurator rather than finishing my copy.
Oh dear.
So I haven't done it yet. But anyway, there's three pics on my desktop, which I will put up, of a Caterham 160 spec'd in sort of Japanese type fashion. So aluminium body, not too unpainted, not too much stuff on it. Just left the wings and the nose black, really nice, lightweight spec.
Yeah, I bet it's superb.
I could just The sensible thing would be to.
That is have a car you can like see yourself driving in bad weather, isn't it?
And I mentioned it because I drove back from Scotland yesterday, from Inverness to my home in North Oxfordshire, 520 miles, and there was a bit I stopped to take some photos up on the sort of Glenshee Road, the old military road that goes over the top, which is a fabulous, really nice strip, really nice bit of road. The last time I drove back from there was in a Caterham. And as I set off in this Genesis G70, I thought to myself, I would very happily drive a Caterham back now. And I don't mind them in bad weather.
It's something, it's all
heater,
right, isn't it?
Heated screen, they're fine. They're really nice. Yeah, really
one enjoyable. Of the finest trips I ever took was between Sydney and Melbourne, a matter of 550 miles, in a Morgan with the lid off. And with Peter Robinson, my mentor and mate.
Yeah.
And the only thing we would have liked was a set of windscreen wipers on the inside of the screen.
Yeah, can't believe. Yeah.
But apart from that, it was terrific.
Mm. Should we quickly talk a Christmas road test?
Absolutely, yeah. This is a big deal.
It's cool for me. It's called Pellet. I think it might be the 15th one I've ever written.
15?
I think so, because I think Colin Goodwin wrote one on a stunt plane, because he's a pilot.
Yeah.
And flies a pretty racy plane himself.
Do you remember he did one on some ludicrous sort of huge supermarket trolley thing?
VA shopping trolley.
Yeah.
He did, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Yeah, before my time. So he's done a couple. Yeah, so he's done one during my time. And there's a Rita Queen of Speed, which was a theme park ride, which I think was the first Christmas road test while I was at Autocar, so I didn't do that.
Okay.
And I think Jamie Kostorfin had to take the V-Box data collection stuff on board. But anyway, this year it's Pelican of London, which is a tall ship, sail training ship. So they take young people on board who've never been on a boat before, never been on a ship before, never been on the water, possibly never even been on a rowing boat. 3 weeks later, they might be sailing around Ireland or around the UK or across the Atlantic.
So you apply.
You apply, and you pay. They're a charity, but you can pay, and they are. It's training for young people. Quite popular with German kids because they speak English on board as well. So it's a good oppo for them to learn how to speak English. Just teaches them good leadership skills, life skills.
People?
I think you see now. Here's the problem, Steve. I wrote it about a month ago. So I think in total they have about 10 to 15 crew on board, and then I think they can take like 30 kids at a time.
Ah.
So 30 young people at a time, say kids.
And they're sort of encouraged to get up the mast and
land
ho routine and
no pressure to be up there, but they, you know, yes, ideally you would climb up and let out the sails and pull them back up and tie them up. And they say, you know, by the time the trips are ended, virtually all of them are doing it.
They're doing
it. Yeah, they are doing it. And they have a science officer, marine biologist or something on board as well. So they run run classes in environmental science and marine science and stuff.
All year round?
So they run all year round. In the summer, they run in and around Europe. And then in the winter, they cross over and run around the Caribbean in the winter.
Oh, well, that sounds
all right, doesn't it? And then sail back again on the trade winds. You sail purely by wind power, sailing back on the same route that Francis Drake took 100 years ago. I mean, amazing stuff.
It is amazing stuff. Yeah. How long is this?
It's about 45 metres long.
Oh, so big.
So big, but yeah, big ship, three masts. And it started life as a French Arctic fishing trawler, engine powered only, but built in a shipyard in France that had a pretty long history of building sailing ships. From the early 1700s, I think, something like that. So it was when they looked at it, they said, actually, this could take masts, and it's got a very thick hull because it was designed to operate in icy waters, steel hull ship. And I think they made some mods underneath, but basically it ran as a shipping, as a fishing trawler until the 70s. Then it was sold off and it just transported small amounts of cargo. It was impounded for having a load of smuggled vodka in the 1970s and impounded for a while. And then it was bought I think in the, oh, maybe that was the 90s. Anyway, it was bought and then it was restored and given sales in 2007, I think, 2007, 2008. Wow. But I didn't know you could do that to a fishing trawler.
No. Just
take it away and go, yeah, let's put three enormous masts on it and power it by sails.
Yeah, you'd think that the hull shape would be an issue,
yeah,
you
just,
you?
I didn't realise you could do that. Yeah. So I think they've put some, they did something to the keel underneath, but not not a lot.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, and it runs. It's, mate, it's,
you went. You did a voyage, didn't you?
Yeah, we went from around the south coast of Devon. We set off, sailed a bit, and then we got dropped off. We got taken in on a little rigid inflatable at the end of the day, and it went on with its voyage after that, and it was just.
I bet. And Max, I gather, Max, the photographer, went out in the dinghy and did sort of classic car-type tracking shots.
Yeah, boat-to-boat tracking shots from the inflatable.
Is there any video of this?
There's a couple of social clips which I'll put up, but there isn't a full vid. But then he sent up a drone as well while we were out at sea to get some.
Oh, I bet that was good.
And in the sort of, you know, the fading golden hour light, as the photographers like to call it, the pictures are just. Spectacular.
Blinding.
So cool.
Yeah, you must have been in orbit, Max. You know,
oh, he was thrilled, mate. He was delighted.
Photographers get all kind of, you know, they become hysterical about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think they really enjoy, in my experience, they really enjoy the Christmas road test stuff because it's not, you know, it's just a break from the norm, isn't it? A chance to shoot something else, to think about how you're going to shoot boat-to-ship tracking.
You know. Here is the question, though, mate. Yeah. Do you feel, I mean, I'm sure you feel... a satisfaction because the thing has been done, it's appeared, you know, it didn't sink, it's a lovely story, the pics are right and all that, but the load is already on you to think of, come up
to
with
think
the next
of the
one,
next one. Yeah, I mean, this year was great because a fellow called Adrian Ragborn, who runs Seas Your Future, with SEAS, Your Future, the charity that runs this ship, and they have another one in dry dock undergoing refit at the moment. He reads the mag, listens to the pod, hello Adrian, and knows what we do, knows how we work, knows what access we'd need, and understands it. Oh, that makes a huge difference to how this runs. And sometimes that's not always the case with a Christmas road test, and it's a bit more fraught than others.
Yeah.
And we had this in the bag quite early, so that was good. But yeah, the pressure is on already to think.
Have you got any? Have you got a sort of selection of ideas?
I mean,
don't tell me. I just wonder whether you've got some.
Well, I mean, yeah, I want to do a submarine because we've done boats, we've done aeroplanes, we've done helicopters, we've done a hovercraft.
Yeah.
We've done the world's fastest tractor. And then before my time, we've done the space shuttle Concorde. Didn't necessarily drive those, obviously.
No.
And all kinds, like you say, the V8 shopping trolley and all sorts. But I don't think there has ever been a submarine.
Who the hell do we know that's got a submarine?
Well, there's a couple of sort of leisure-based ones that don't go very deep. They've got a big sort of glass bubbly cockpit.
Oh.
But you can go down a small way. So I might try tapping them up.
Oh, and because you can see stuff as you're down there.
Because I think my understanding is the Royal Navy and the US Navy are not always that keen on letting you on board.
No.
Nuclear-powered.
No.
Things with, yes, you can come on board, but you can't write about it and you'll be away for 3 months.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Disadvantages there.
You can't file any copy while you're there. but it would be cool to do.
Imagine the pics looking out the front, because presumably they take you to look at stuff.
Mm.
That sounds amazing.
But you'd need two, wouldn't you? Because you'd need another one to photograph it from.
I suppose so, yeah.
Next year, mate, I need two submarines.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Well, you've got 40 weeks.
Because everybody likes it to be done end of October, really. People start fretting in the office.
I mean, needless to say, if we have a listener who's got an idea or two, got a couple of submarines.
Either or. Yeah, I'm very much open to ideas because it's... It's also a great, one of the best days of my working year.
Yeah.
I think. Let's, very quickly, we're about to run out of time, I think, really. Let's quickly talk Caffeine and Machine. There's a feature in the mag this week where we talk about some of the most underrated cars, we think, of the year. But we based ourselves to do the feature and the chat at Caffeine and Machines' new gaff, didn't we?
Yeah, interesting place, isn't it? Mm. I think it's funny when you do these things. You know, people turn up in cars that you wish you'd brought yourself. You know, the one that I liked was a Volvo State, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Now gone or about to go, isn't it? Mm. But I've forgotten what was there. Can you remember?
I can bring up the magazine. It is, so the idea was Matt Saunders sent everybody, he's the road test editor, he sent everybody a note saying, I want you to nominate an underrated car or an underrated thing about car. And we go for what we call the road tester's Christmas lunch, have a natter about it, and then decide who's right and who's wrong. And I'm just looking for it in the double issue. It's not in the next issue, is it?
The new two-wheel drive Polestar, which was ludicrously off the pace because it's an interesting new model that I think people will buy in numbers.
Mm.
So I was completely wrong about that. you know, I was thinking car like that equals four-wheel drive and 400 horsepower, but this car has got 295 or so, 296, I think it is.
Mm.
Two-wheel drive, all the electronics you could want, and it's may well be the best Polestar of the lot. So I'm Polestar 2. I've got head up the backside, I'm afraid, on this occasion.
There were the thing is that amount of power in that sort of car is plenty because of the way it develops.
Yeah,
the power, isn't it? And
yeah.
It's a rear motor, isn't it?
It is.
So the steering is uncorrupted completely by.
Yeah. Nice car.
Yeah.
I thought it was a nice car, and I've always liked. I love that. That beautiful, simple styling.
Mm.
And the interior suits me. And
yeah.
So I thoroughly enjoyed the car. I think what I was really doing was just indulging myself without taking too much notice of
the brief.
Mr. Saunders' brief.
Well, a few of us did that. So, yeah, I think the one we most of us thought was probably the tick box, yes, that is underrated, was Matt Saunders arrived in a Jaguar XF Estate, didn't he?
That's
and
it.
That is an under-the-radar unknown.
Yeah.
Good value. Lovely to drive.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got the opening spread up here. So what else is there? Vicky Parrott, who wrote the story, came in an Abarth 500.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, cool thing.
You wonder whether who's going to buy the electric Abarth.
Mm. There's an Alfa Giulia Saloon. Pretty sensible, actually. Good shout.
Yeah.
Good shout that James Disdale brought. Ricky Lane came in a Mercedes B-Class. Felix Page brought a BMW 3 Series.
That's right. This is the car that wasn't quite an M3.
That? Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
330 something or other.
Yeah, that M3 was his idea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A very basic Ford Ranger for Ilya Verpret.
Yeah, that was a good laugh too.
I would
steel wheels and
very
all that.
Happily drive one of those for.
Yeah, you would. You're susceptible to these things, aren't you?
Yeah, totally. And I brought, having slightly misread the brief, but not that. Anyway, I brought along a BMW i7 because you know what's underrated? Not driving. sitting in the back, getting ferried around.
That is a good.
Because
you made
so
this point,
much
didn't
of
you?
So much of motoring today is miserable anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well let somebody else have a go.
Yeah, yeah. And it's an awesome car, isn't it?
It's a really good car.
Several of us in recent times have spent some of our breath talking to makers of other luxury cars to say, just try an i7, try an i7.
Yeah.
The way that creamy, amazing rolling comfort, brilliant.
Mm. Yeah.
Nothing better.
No, it's really isolation and comfort.
So it must have been a nice trip to and from.
Oh, very much so.
It's a nice place, isn't it? The new C&M.
It is.
It's if you're used to the original one, you won't be surprised, will you? But it's spacious and welcoming and all the stuff that they usually are. We had a good time, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, we might have yacked on for way too long.
So again?
We've yacked on for way too long. Sorry. This half-hour podcast is 45 minutes.
Oh, God,
sorry
okay.
about that. So we'll call it a day. But Steve and I will be back next week to talk about the second of the two Christmas doubles, which you can find on the 20th in newsagents or at themagazineshop.com. You can find us over at autocar.co.uk. In the meantime, there is a thing about two Lancia Deltas over on YouTube. Richard Lane's own Delta Integrale, plus a Maturo Resto mod. which is really good. Really cool thing. Anyway, find all that. Steve and I will be back this time next week. Thank you, mate.
See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.